From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays, transcribed with John Chapman. Series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, editor of the theatrical yearbook Best Plays and drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Cyril Richard and Sally Forrest in Samson Raphaelson's Accent on Youth. Mr. Chapman.
Ah, those good old days of the theater when critics really worked for a living. I'm talking about 18 years ago. On Christmas Eve that time, there opened a comedy by S.N. Behrman. On Christmas night, there were four openings the critics could choose from. And not all of the boys picked the right play. Walter Hampton opened in Hamlet. Old Bill Brady offered a review at his playhouse, Fools Rush In, which had such young upcomers as Imogene Coca, Richard Wharf, and Leonard Sillman. At the Ritz Theater, there was a drama called Piper Paid. All these had short runs. The hit of the evening was the play we are going to do tonight, Samson Raphaelson's comedy about show people, Accent on Youth. It got into the Best Plays book, and it had a nice long run with Constance Cummings and Nicholas Hannon in the leading roles. Accent on Youth remains a witty play, and we have two very attractive leading players. Sally Forrest, a rising young star, plays Linda. Cyril Richard, who is so good this season with Katharine Hepburn and Shaw's The Millionaires, is the playwright Stephen Gay. Now, if I might join you, I'll take it easy in a chair and just listen.
My name is Frank Galloway. And I suppose I might best describe myself in the words of Stephen Gay, the playwright, as a rather elegant actor in the neighborhood of 60. At any rate, I was that age when our story began. It was a day in October a year ago, and we had gathered in Stephen's apartment to read the manuscript of his latest play, Old Love. There were in the room besides myself Miss Darling, an actress of about 50, and Dickie Reynolds, an athletic, youngish-looking actor of about 26. Oh, yes, and Linda Brown, a young lady of 25, who looked like a secretary. Was a secretary, as a matter of fact. Linda was talking on the phone.
He's taking his afternoon nap, Mr. Benham. He should be up shortly, though. Yes, Miss Darling's here, Mr. Reynolds and Mr. Galloway. Well, they're still reading it. Haven't said a word yet. Yes, Mr. Benham, I'll tell him. Goodbye.
Well, Miss Brown, you can tell Stephen Gay that I adore his play.
Did you finish the whole play, Miss Darling?
Oh, no, Mr. Reynolds. I just read my own part. You see, I'm not in the third act at all.
How do you like your part?
I think it's Stephen Gay at his best. And it's such a comfortable part. I can be myself, a decent, old-fashioned woman.
That's what I like about my part, too. Just the word, comfortable. Everything I have to say sort of comes natural. Miss Brown. Miss Brown, you've read the play, I guess.
Yes.
Well, I haven't got to the end, but, I get the girl, don't I?
Oh, yes.
Well, who plays the girl?
Genevieve Lang, I believe.
Oh, boy, that's impressive.
My husband comes back to me, doesn't he?
No.
No?
No.
But he must. It's not a comedy if he doesn't.
It's not a comedy, Miss Darling.
Not a comedy? Oh, how long have you been with Mr. Gay, my dear?
3 years, Miss Darling.
Then surely you know Stephen Gay writes nothing but comedies.
Nevertheless, Old Love is a tragedy.
I think Old Love is a funny title.
It might be to you, young man. It's not if you're my age.
Have you finished reading the play, Mr. Galloway?
Miss Brown, I wish you to tell Mr. Gay that I have read his play from cover to cover, and that I have never been so grossly insulted in my life. Good afternoon.
Oh, Mr. Galloway, wait! Mr. Gay will be here in any moment. After he talked to you about it, you'll thank him for the greatest role of your career.
If I played this thing, my career would be over. I've played butlers in my day, tramps, murderers, and fools, but never a lecherous old man.
Lecherous? Well, how can you say that? He's a glorious, courageous man standing just this side of 60, surging under the last rhythmic leap of youth in his blood, rebelling at convention.
Hello, everybody.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gay.
Well, my friends, have you read the manuscript?
It's a superb tragedy, Mr. Gay. I love it.
Do you really?
Particularly my part. It's such a new attack on the old character of the mistreated wife.
Hmm. And you, Dickie? How do you feel about the part of Freddy?
Oh, Mr. Gay, it's the best comedy part I've ever read. Well, that is for me.
Comedy?
Well, it's supposed to be a comedy part, isn't it?
Yes. Galloway, what do you think?
Well, I can't quite... The old fellow puzzles me. I suppose I'm stupid.
No, you're not stupid at all. The old fellow puzzles me, too. Please go on.
Well, take that love scene in the first act, where he tells the girl what she means to him.
It bothers you, does it?
A little.
Yes. Well, I was just rereading it in my bedroom. It bothers me a lot.
I think it's beautifully written.
So do I, Dickie. I think that's the best writing I've ever done.
Oh, I'm not criticizing the writing. I just wonder if I... well, you know, after all, I am 60. In fact, I'm a little over 60. And me making ardent love to a young girl and frankly admitting that my wife has never done an unjust thing in her life.
Mm. I agree with you, Galloway.
On the other hand, there is a poetic something in the play. And if a man can catch it with a high heart, with grandeur...
Yes, that's what I thought when I wrote it. I'm 51 myself. I can smell 60. And when you're 60, you're an old man. Personally, it doesn't terrify me. I had a great time, but if I behaved like that fellow, I'd consider myself an idiot. You see, I tried to catch the poetry of a man facing old age. I tried the impossible. Poetry is young, or it's no good. But I'm getting my doubts. You see, it all depends on the actor who plays the part. If he can catch the imagination of the audience...
I've played Shakespeare, you know.
And very well, too.
Thank you. I think I'd like to try it.
Good.
I'm beginning to get what you're after.
Galloway, I'm an awfully clever fellow. I talked Benham into liking this play, the shrewdest producer on Broadway.
That's fine. Then you can talk the audiences into liking it.
That's not so easy.
It's worth trying.
Stephen Gay's first tragedy.
Frank Galloway, at the height of his maturity, experiments with a new value.
Hmm. How is Mrs. Galloway?
Fine.
Haven't you got a couple of children?
Three. The youngest is 24.
Well, take a script home with you. Read it to the family. Sleep on it. And you do the same, Miss Darling. Read it to your...
I live with my sister at the moment.
Good. Well, read it to her. And, Dickie, take it down to the tennis club and get some of the boys in the locker room to listen. See what red-blooded young America thinks of it. And then in a day or two, well, let's get together again and see how we feel about it.
I'm sure we're going to love it.
Goodbye, Mr. Gay.
Goodbye. And thank you all.
A few minutes later, after he has given Linda some dictation, Stephen is alone in his study. He sinks back on the sofa and starts lighting a cigarette, when the butler enters and announces an attractive, smartly dressed young woman. As she enters, Stephen tries to unscramble himself from the sofa.
Now, don't get up, Stephen.
Just stay as you are.
Lie back and smoke and let me look at you. And don't say anything. Oh, what a nice room. And the nicest time of the day. And pretty soon I may ask for a cup of tea, but just now I'm going to enjoy the view and the books and the furniture and the second nicest man I ever knew.
Hello, Genevieve.
Hello, Stephen.
Who's the first nicest?
I knew him 4 years ago. His name was Stephen Gay. What made you think of me for this part, Stephen?
Frankly, it wasn't my idea. It was Benham.
But you consented?
Well, why shouldn't I? You're a remarkable actor.
Thank you. It's a remarkable part.
But?
Don't you dye your hair a little, Stephen?
Yes. Can you tell?
No.
Pause.
What?
I said pause. I was mentally writing this scene, wondering when the plot would enter. Genevieve, Whatever happened 4 years ago, anyway?
You broke my heart. I was insane over you.
And I was absolutely mad about you.
I don't believe it.
We were all set to go to Paris. I had my steamship reservation.
And I had mine.
We were to meet at midnight on the boat.
Right.
And at 10 o'clock, as I'm doing my last bit of packing, I get the most hilarious idea of my life.
You mean a play idea?
Well, what other kind is there?
Go on.
All right. If I didn't write it then, while it was hot, I'd never get it down. Now, I'm not temperamental, but there is such a thing as inspiration. Well, what happened when you got my message?
I jumped into the ocean and never was seen again.
Well, it's all over now, isn't it?
Completely. Ah, Stephen, you really were a very attractive man.
What's the matter with me now?
You're nice.
But not as nice as I was then, eh?
Well, you're 4 years older.
And so are you, my dear.
When you're 4 years older than 22, you're still a young woman. But when you're 4 years older than 49, that makes you 53.
Mm. And revolting.
Of course not, Stephen. You'll never be revolting. But after all, 53 isn't quite the age to make a girl's heart go pity-pat.
Well, speaking impersonally, as an elderly man of the world to a young woman of the world, at what age would you say a man ceases being, well, just where would you draw the pity-pat line?
Roughly, at 49.
I see. Tell me, are you going to do the play?
I'm afraid not, Stephen. It's really not my dish of tea.
What are you going to do? Wait for another play to come along?
Maybe. Or I might just go away.
Where?
Anywhere. I'm mildly insane, didn't you know? Oh, thanks. 2 years ago, I suddenly just had to see South Africa. Allow me to inform you that South Africa is beautiful.
Did you go alone?
I started alone.
Have you ever been to Finland?
No.
Neither have I, but I hear it's amazing. Full of blue eyes and green trees and yellow flowers.
And in the winter, the air is so dry you can walk naked in the snow.
Let's go to Finland.
What about your play?
I hate the play.
Stephen, will you kiss me?
Why?
I want to see what it would be like.
Well?
Do you really mean that about Finland?
Passionately.
Do you expect me to believe that I or any other woman could make you hate your play?
Of course not. Of course not. I knew the play was all wrong before you came.
Stephen Gay, I don't believe you.
Will you believe me in Finland?
The Ile-de-France leaves tonight.
Fine. We can change to Southampton. What time does the Ile-de-France sail?
10.
Got your passport?
Always.
Can you be packed by 10?
I can try.
You're lovely. Kiss me. Okay?
Marvelous.
Heart go pity-pat?
You fiend! You devil! So, you were play-acting. Just to prove that a man past 50 could be...
romantic. Did I do it well?
You had me fooled.
No, not really.
Well, couldn't you see?
Yes. But after all, you're an excellent actress.
Goodbye, Stephen. Believe it or not, I was ready to go to Finland.
Genevieve, this is absolutely preposterous. But I'm dying to go to Finland with you, on my word of honor.
As a playwright?
No, as a gentleman.
I'll get the tickets. I'll go right back to my hotel.
Excuse me.
Yes, Linda?
Your 5 o'clock pill, Mr. Gay.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome, Mr. Gay.
I must rush. I'll telephone you. Au revoir.
Auf Wiedersehen. Douglas.
Yes, sir?
I'm leaving for Finland tonight.
Very well, sir.
Isn't it exciting?
Very, sir. This time of year, you'll find the climate still mild in Finland.
Logdo.
Yes, sir.
I shall miss you.
Thank you, sir. I'll pack your things.
Good. Linda?
Yes, Mr. Gay?
Get Mr. Benham on the phone, will you? No, better not. He'll talk my head off. Take a letter. Got your pad?
Yes, Mr. Gay.
Dear Bill, when you get this, comma, I'll be on the Ile-de-France on the first lap to Finland, period. Forget old love, dash, and save yourself a lot of headaches, period. Nobody cares about that old fool. Anyway, I'm quitting. I'm going to live. Where was I?
Nobody cares about that old fool anyway.
On second thoughts, Linda, kill the letter. I'll send him a radiogram from the boat. And Linda, you're discharged with my compliments, my gratitude, my affection. Now we'll have to give you a nice present. Now, what would you like most in the world?
Nothing, thank you.
Oh, come, come, Linda. I'm serious. Would you like a car, a trip to Europe, maybe a trousseau? Haven't you got a boyfriend?
No.
Now, don't be silly. You're a fine-looking girl. You'd make any man a splendid wife. Tell you what, write yourself a check for 6 months' salary.
The amount you owe me is $41.65 here.
What's this?
A check for the correct amount. Today is the fourth day of the week. My salary is 60 a week. 4 days makes 40, and I paid $1.65 for that parcel post package yesterday.
What's the matter, Linda? What have I done?
Nothing's the matter.
But you're angry.
No, I'm accurate. You've discharged me, haven't you?
Well, that's not quite the way to...
Yes or no?
Yes.
Now we're through, aren't we?
Look that way.
You're no longer my employer.
No.
And I'm no longer your secretary?
Right.
We're two human beings together.
Yes, Linda.
A man and a woman.
A man and a woman.
Well, before I say goodbye, I want you to know that I love you. I want you to know that the 3 years and 2 months I've spent with you have been the most wonderful, painful, happiest years I've ever had or hoped to have. You hardly knew I was on Earth, but... Well, you've given me more than you could have given your wife or any other woman or your friends or your audience.
But Linda...
I had you when you were alone. You've spoiled every other man I knew for me. You did that in the first month. I don't think I'll ever forget a single look of your face, a single word you said. You've done a terrible thing. You opened my eyes and my heart, and you never touched me. Oh, it hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so beautiful. And if you think I can walk out of this house quietly, that you can smile me away with money and a few new dresses, if you think I can walk out of here without wanting to kill you, without wanting to cut my initials into every day you're going to live, you're crazy. Goodbye and try to forget me.
Hey! Let me look at you. You strange creature. You lovely creature. Let me look at you. Oh, I'm not patronizing you. I'm seeing you. Linda, you're grand. Gosh, if I were only 35 or 40 instead of 51. What do you want of me, Linda?
Nothing.
That's not true.
I know it's not.
What do you want of me, Linda?
I don't know. Everything. Anything.
Where do you live, Linda?
West 10th Street.
Apartment?
Yes.
Are your parents dead? You went to college or something, didn't you?
3 years.
Linda, I know you won't believe it, but you'll get over this.
Will I?
Yes, you will. You're young. The world is full of fascinating people, much more fascinating than I am.
You know that isn't true.
Oh. Am I physically attractive to you?
Yes.
Funny. When you get right down to it, I can't think offhand of a man you know who could make you forget me. I'm a unique combination, and I know myself too well. I've been around too much to deny that I'm charming.
You're wonderful.
I know I am. But Linda, my sweet, I don't love you. I don't love anybody.
I know that. You don't have to tell me.
Well, supposing I did love you, supposing for the sake of argument that I fell in love with you, it'd be worse. Picture a man of 51. Why, it's like the situation in Old Love. Oh, Linda, get your notebook.
It's right here.
Take this down. Ready?
Ready.
Linda, this is marvelous. Do you realize what you've done for me? Angel, you've saved my play. Why didn't I think of it before? She makes love to him. Get it? How beautifully simple. She makes love to him. It whitewashes the old boy completely. God bless you, Linda. Oh, I'm in love with the play all over again. Aren't you?
I always was.
Take this down. Goodbye. But before I go, I want you to know I love you. Do you remember what you said after that?
I can't remember a thing.
Doesn't matter. I believe you said, the years I've spent with you have been pure torture. Every hour, every second, every day. Period. You've done a terrible thing to me. Period. You opened my eyes and my heart, and you never touched me. Period.
Yes,
I said that. That's what I said.
It hurt. Every bit of it hurt. How could it not hurt? It was so lovely.
Beautiful.
Yes, that's it. And if you think I can walk out of here without wanting to kill you, what's the matter? Aren't you writing it down?
Oh, give it to me again.
And I'm a brute. But that shouldn't be news to you.
I'll get it. Hello? Yes, he's here. It's Genevieve Lang.
Linda, dear, do you love this play as much as I do?
More.
Do you think this new scene is going to make a difference?
Yes, I do.
Then give me the phone. Hello, Genevieve? You dear? The what? The bridal suite? Oh, well, I'll tell you, Genevieve, I don't know if you'll quite understand. No. Listen, you'll go through the ceiling when you hear this. But on the other hand, it means a wonderful part for you. Yes. 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 Well, all I ask is you let me read you the new scene when it's written. Genevieve, listen. Hello. Hello? Linda.
Yes.
I'm not going to Finland.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Shall we finish writing the scene?
By all means, my dear. Now, where were we?
Seven months pass, and during that time, some rather surprising events take place. For one thing, Stephen's play reaches Broadway, and in the cast of players are not only Miss Darling, Dickie Reynolds, and myself, but Linda Brown, Stephen's former secretary, whom he is persuaded to take the role intended for Genevieve Lang. Now, it is a morning in May, and Linda has just entered Stephen's study, where she is greeted by the butler.
Good morning, Miss Linda.
Good morning, Flogdon. Where's Mr. Gay?
He went to your apartment. Didn't you see him?
How long ago?
About a half hour. He tried all night to get you on the telephone.
I know.
And he went to your house twice, but apparently you weren't in.
He nearly broke down the door.
He said he was going to break down the door this morning.
Where did Mr. Gay dine last night?
At home, Miss Linda.
Alone?
Very much alone, Miss Linda. If I may say so, there was an air of melancholy about him, a strange, brooding loneliness. And if you will permit me to quote...
And what did Mr. Gay do all last evening?
He paced madly up and down this room.
Alone?
Alone.
I don't believe a word you say.
I've told you the truth, Miss Linda. And my word of honor is a gentleman's gentleman.
Oh, please, Flogdo, don't be offended. I don't blame you for being loyal to your master. He's been good to you. But as for me, well, I've come for my things.
What things, Miss Linda?
There are seven photographs of me in this house. I want them. And my knitting and... Oh, yes, this lampshade. I painted it myself, and he never liked it anyway.
Is that all, Miss Linda?
That's all.
Well, I assume the responsibility of refusing to deliver the articles you name.
Then I'll take them.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Gay.
Bogdo.
Yes, sir?
Get out of here.
Very well, Mr. Gay.
What are you doing here, Linda?
I've come for my things.
That's what I expected.
Well, haven't you anything to say for yourself?
Haven't I anything to say for myself? What, for instance?
Well, for instance, goodbye. I don't love you anymore. I hope I never see you again. We agreed, didn't we, to be brutal, to be honest, when the moment came?
Are you crazy?
Of course I'm crazy. Don't pretend you just discovered it. And you're crazy. That's why when a time like this comes, we shouldn't lower ourselves to the level of sanity.
But...
I demand that we keep our hate on the same high mountain where you put our love. Do you know what day yesterday was? It was the 9th of May. 7 months ago yesterday, I was nothing to you. And you were everything to me. You discharged me. I was willing to go. I told you I loved you, but it was an exit speech. I didn't ask for mercy. You pulled me back. You begged me to rehearse in your play. I never wanted to be an actress. Well, I became an actress. Then on the opening night, you said you fell in love with me. And I believed you. We promised each other it would be breathless and magical or nothing at all. You said... The wonder that's in us is our love. And when that wonder goes, let's not live kindly, sweetly, disgustingly with just each other. Did you or did you not say it?
Well, it's rather naively phrased, but I said it.
Did you or did you not mean it?
Of course I meant it.
Well, then how could you yesterday on the seventh monthly anniversary of the day you discharged me, how could you break our date?
Did you read my note?
Of course I read it.
Well, I think it was very clear.
What was queer about it? You walked into my apartment at 6:30.
And I found your young leading man on your bed.
And you left.
Well, what did you expect me to do?
If you had the least bit of poetry in you, you would have waited for me to come out of the shower.
Would you have liked it if you'd found me standing there?
I would have loved it.
You would have enjoyed explaining?
Explaining? I should have refused to explain.
Well, that makes everything clear.
Why did you refuse to answer your telephone?
I thought that was covered in my note.
Why did you put the note on Dickie's chest?
Oh, seemed the natural thing to do.
Suppose he woke up and read it before I came out.
Oh, can he read?
Beautifully.
Why did you telephone me if you didn't intend to explain?
I telephoned you for having put me in your show, for having introduced me to the world of the theater which I love.
Then why did you refuse to answer your telephone when I called you at midnight?
Because I decided I had nothing to thank you for. You needed me in your play. I made good, and you got just as much out of the whole miserable mess as I did.
May I ask you a question?
You may.
Why are you angry at me?
I'm not angry at all. This is despair. Because your faith in me is gone and everything's over.
I have all the faith in the world in you. But I know too much about life, about women. You might be an angel straight from heaven. So long as you're young and I'm old, I tell you there's no substitute for youth. Every night in that play, Dickie takes you in his arms. Every night in words that I wrote. His youth calls to you. Every night, and two matinees a week.
You're jealous.
Dying of it.
Well, couldn't you see that Dickie was drunk?
Don't. No matter what you say, it'll be something that I said in a similar situation.
Stephen.
Oh, Linda, Linda.
Stephen, do you love me?
What do you think?
Oh, I think yes. And I love you. I'm tired of asking you to marry me. But we must let the world know we belong to each other. Otherwise, why shouldn't a young man come to see me?
But I want young men to come to see you. The field is free. You don't have to tell me what Dickie was doing in your bedroom. I know nothing happened. All night long, I was telling myself that.
Oh, Stephen, darling, let's never do things like this to each other again, shall we?
Never. Darling.
Yes, dear.
What did he do? Just walk in.
Oh.
Dickie Reynolds.
Oh, you angel, haven't I told you about that yet?
Not that I can remember.
Well, he walked in unannounced and very tight. I was surprised. You know Dickie never drinks or smokes. And I couldn't figure out what he came for because I don't think I've exchanged more than 50 words with the boy during the 6 months we've been in the show. Well, he talked about the traffic and I talked about the weather and then suddenly, like a gentleman of the old school, he fell asleep in his chair. Well, it got to be time for me to dress for dinner, so I went in to dress. When I came out from my shower, there on my bed was your note and under it was Dickie.
Ben? Yes, Bronco?
Mr. Dickie Reynolds to see you, sir.
Dickie?
Linda, do you suppose he knows you're here?
Of course not.
Do you want to stay? He might wonder what you're doing here.
Well, you bet I want to stay. And I wish when he comes in you'd say, this is my girl. And what the deuce were you doing in her apartment?
My dear, when you're an old lady and I'm your handsome young sweetheart, on that day I'll flatter you by branding on your forehead private property. But right now I'd like you to go.
Go?
Down the back way, so he won't know you're here.
Just as you like, Stephen, but I'll be back.
All right, but not now. Go.
Yes, Stephen.
Goodbye. Loggle, show Mr. Reynolds in.
Hello, Mr. Gay.
How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Great. Sit down.
Mr. Gay, I know you're wondering why I'm here. Well, I gave Mr. Benham my notice this morning. I thought I'd drop in and tell you so you wouldn't hear it from somebody else.
Is anything the matter, Dickie?
I'm quitting the theater.
Isn't that a rather sudden decision?
Well, I had a chance to buy a ranch in Wyoming. My father left me a little money, and so I bought it.
A ranch? That's one of those places where you get up early in the morning, isn't it?
5 a.m.
You're crazy.
No, you're crazy. Everybody in the theater is crazy. I don't like them. I like good, sincere, two-fisted, straight-from-the-shoulder men. If I hadn't been in a dramatic show at college, I'd never have gotten into such an unhealthy atmosphere. All the men are show-offs, looking in the mirror all the time. And the women are worse.
Tell me about the women, Dickie.
They're unwholesome. I like a woman who falls in love, marries, has kids, and makes a home. Am I right or not?
You're absolutely right.
Sure I'm right.
All the women in the theater care about is getting emotional from 8:30 to 11 every night. And then they've got nothing left to give to the generation of tomorrow.
I didn't know that you were concerned about the generation of tomorrow.
I am.
Well, Dickie, I'm sorry you're going to leave the show. But I'm glad you found yourself before you became a character actor.
So am I. You know, most of us don't find ourselves until it's too late.
Yes, Flogel?
Miss Linda Brown is downstairs, sir. Shall I show her up or ask her to wait?
Linda, how nice. Ask her to come up, will you, Flogel?
Yes, sir.
Well, I guess I'll be going.
No, no, don't go. You and Linda are, friends, aren't you?
Oh, sure.
She's a great girl, when you really get to know her.
She was your secretary once, wasn't she?
Yes, and sometimes I wish I hadn't got her in the show. She's not a bad actress, but she was the best secretary I ever had.
And you'll never find one as good again.
Oh, hello, Linda.
Hello, Stephen. My, you're looking well. Hello, Dickie.
Hello, Linda.
I hope I'm not intruding.
Not at all. Did you hear the news about Dickie? He's leaving the show.
Oh, really?
Yes, isn't it too bad? He's bought a cow ranch.
Well, who are they going to get in his place? I hope they get Oscar Ferroni, don't you? I think he's so romantic.
You mean that bushy-haired fellow who sprawls picturesquely on floors?
Mm-hmm. I think he plays men awfully well. Oh, Dickie, you must tell Mr. Gay about all the fun you had yesterday afternoon in my apartment.
Yesterday afternoon? Oh. Oh, so that's where I was. Oh, Zeeland, that's terrible. I don't quite know what to say. You see, I never drink, and yesterday I bought the ranch, and, well, the real estate man and I had a couple. Well, did you have any trouble getting rid of me?
I don't know. I left you there. You might call on my maid and get the rest of the story from her.
Hello? Yes, this is Stephen Gay. Yes? All right. Just a moment. Linda, Dickie, excuse me, it's Benham. I'll take the call in the bedroom.
I think I'll go, Stephen. I can see you another time.
Well, please, I'll be right back. Entertain Dickie like a nice girl.
Thank you for staying.
Why should you thank me for staying?
Linda, listen to me.
Dickie, what's the matter with you?
You. I'm quitting the show on account of you.
Oh?
Now, don't look at me like that. That's the way you've been looking at me for 6 months, as if I was the wallpaper on the wall. Oh, Linda, I didn't buy a ranch yesterday. I had to see you. I couldn't stand it any longer. I took a couple of drinks. Oh, I don't know how many, so I could break through that look of yours.
Oh, Dickie, you poor foolish boy. What have I done to you?
Oh, nothing. I love you so much I can't see straight, that's all. Now, goodbye.
Oh, Dickie, wait. Well, of all things.
Hello? Where's Dickie?
He wanted to go. I didn't stop him.
You didn't mean what you said about Oscar Ferroni, did you?
Stephen, will you marry me?
Will you stick to the subject? What about Ferroni?
Kiss me, Stephen.
You do love me, don't you?
I'd like to see anybody try to stop me.
You make me very happy.
Will you marry me?
I'm weakening.
Oh, darling, darling.
What are you crying about?
Let's do it right away.
All right. You know, I've always wanted to, don't you?
Have you?
I only hesitated because I wasn't really sure that you loved me.
But now you are, aren't you?
Well, somehow, I am. Let's go up to Greenwich tomorrow morning.
It's a date.
Happy?
Blissfully.
You know, if I were writing a play, I'd have Dickie in love with you.
Why?
Well, there's a better reason for leaving a show than a cow ranch. And then I'd hint to the audience either that he's not really going away or that you like him more than you're telling. Then that's how it would be in a play. And this is life. And life never makes sense, does it?
In a moment, Act Two of Accent on Youth, starring Cyril Richard and Sally Forrest. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Act Two of the Best Plays production of Accent on Youth by Samson Raphaelson, starring Cyril Richard and Sally Forrest. Here again is John Chapman.
Let's go back, shall we, to that fabulous penthouse apartment. Here, Stephen Gay is somewhat surprised to find Dickie Reynolds waiting for him.
Well, Dickie, what was it you wanted to see me about?
It's about Linda, Mr. Gay.
What about Linda?
I've got to see her.
Well, you know where she lives.
I tried to see her, but she wasn't at home to me. You see, Mr. Gay, I finally told her.
Told her what?
Good Lord, Mr. Gay, can't you see I'm in love with the girl?
Oh. So that's why you quit the show?
Sure, that's why I quit. I couldn't stand it, her acting as if I wasn't on Earth. Me holding her in my arms every night and her acting as if I wasn't on Earth.
What did you tell her?
What I'm telling you.
What did she say?
Well, I didn't wait to find out. I lost my nerve. I bolted. It was while you were on the telephone with Mr. Benham.
Why didn't you stay? You fool. She'd have jumped into your arms. What do you want of me? Why did you come here?
Will you help me?
Help you? I'll give her to you. She's due here, as a matter of fact, almost any minute. Well, I'll be gone and she'll find you. And if she wants to know what happened to me, tell her... Well, tell her I got a great idea for a play and went down the river to think it over.
Oh, Mr. Gay, how will I... What will I say to her?
Well, what do you expect me to do? Write your love scene for you?
Oh, actually not. That'd be ridiculous.
What did you tell her a while ago?
Well, I said, I love you so much I can't see straight.
Not bad.
Honestly? Do you think if I said the same thing to her...
No, that's only good for the first time.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Now, this thing is getting me. I could write that scene for you so that you couldn't miss if in her heart she really cares about you.
See, Mr. Gay, would you?
Oh. Let's see. You'd be sitting here. The door opens and she comes in. First, she doesn't see you. And you tell her that you're leaving for Europe tonight. Take it. Say the Ile de France. And tell her you're going because of her. Whether she likes it or not, she has changed your whole life. She has made life more beautiful, more exciting, more... painful. Be sure and get that in.
More beautiful, more exciting, more painful.
Right. There's nothing as dull as just, I love you. Now, this is a goodbye scene. That's what makes it strong. Now, she's never going to see you again. At the door, turn and ask her to kiss you goodbye. Do you think you can do that?
I know I can't.
Right. Well, the rest is up to you.
I see. Suppose she won't kiss me.
She will. It's a goodbye scene. Any woman would. You'll find out all you need to know. We all will.
See, Mr. Gay, you're brilliant.
Maybe I am, and maybe I'm not. But I'll leave you now, so that you'll be alone when Linda comes.
Stephen! Oh, Dickie. Where's Mr. Gay?
Well, he went out and he said that
I... When will he be back?
Well, he didn't say.
What are you doing here?
Well, I came... Linda, will you listen to me?
No. I don't want to hear a word you have to say. I don't want to see you. I don't want to be in the same room with you. Either you go or I go.
I'll go, but before I go, I want to tell you that this is goodbye.
Good. And go as far away as you possibly can. Nothing would please me better than to know that you were in China or Europe or New Zealand.
All right.
Or anywhere where you couldn't pester me on the telephone.
Shut up.
Dickie.
Now listen to me.
Oh, you take your hands off me. Let me go. Let me go.
I love you.
What's the matter with you? Are you crazy?
I love you.
Well, I hate you. Now you let me go.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Dickie,
I... Linda.
Oh, Dickie, darling.
Have elapsed since last we looked into Stephen Gay's study. Old love has long since closed. Linda and Dickie are happily living in Connecticut. Now, as the October day draws toward evening, There is something different about Stephen. Something resigned, perhaps. Or it may be that his spectacles make him look older. He's looking on as Flogdell and I finish a game of checkers.
Have you moved, Mr. Galloway?
Yes, I jumped you.
Well, I'm sorry, sir. I shall have to jump you three.
Huh?
And that gives me another king.
Oh, my. I didn't see that. Did you, Stephen?
My dear Frank, I saw it coming 10 minutes ago.
Well, I haven't noticed you winning any games from Flogdell.
It's my observation that artists are never good checker players, sir.
Now jump him, Frank. You've got to, you know.
Where? Oh, yes. Oh.
Well, that's game.
Sorry, Mr. Galloway.
Come on, Frank. Give Flogdell his quarter.
Yes. Here you are.
Thank you.
I don't mind losing, Stephen, but you constantly distract me with your asides.
Well, what about your humming and drumming with your knuckles? You call that checker manners? I challenge you to a game without sound effects.
No. No, I've had enough checkers for one evening. I could use another drink, though.
Flogdell, will you get us all one, please?
Certainly, sir. I'll just fetch some fresh ice cream.
You know, Frank, I miss old love.
Oh, I'm glad it's over. That play affected my life. It did something to all of us. Linda marrying Dickie, Miss Darling getting a Hollywood contract. I thought it would be a smash hit, but who would have predicted that it would turn out just another show?
You're depressing me.
Oh, it was a splendid piece of work. But I think your next should be a comedy.
I haven't got a next.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. I'm getting old, that's all.
Well, so am I.
Well, you are old.
You say it as if it were a crime instead of a pleasure.
Well, you like it, don't you?
Stephen, you ought to go out more, see people. Why, you know half New York. After all, at your age, a man should begin to enjoy life, travel, see new countries.
I've been thinking about it, Frank. But every time I sit down with a map and a travel folder, I realize there's no trip as beautiful as Act One of a new play.
Miss Genevieve Lang calling, sir.
Genevieve Lang?
She says she wishes to see you only for a moment, sir.
Oh. All right. Show her up.
Pardon me, Mr. Galloway, but I promised Mrs. Galloway that you'd make your exit by 10:15.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Flogdell. Well, goodbye, Stephen.
Goodbye, Frank.
Stephen, think over what I said. You're alone too much. You ought to bring youth into your life. I may say that I'm glad a young lady is visiting you. And furthermore...
Flogdell says exit, Frank, not exit speech.
As I was saying, good night, Stephen. I let myself out.
Good night, Frank. Genevieve Lang. What can she want? Well, Mr. Gay, shall we keep on our spectacles and look a little older? Or take them off and pretend we can still see without them?
Stephen!
Genevieve!
You must forgive my rushing in like this. But I was at the opera, and in the first intermission, I glanced at my program, and what do I see? The date! October 9th. I flew out, bought some flowers, jumped into a taxi, and here I am.
They're beautiful, Genevieve. Thank you. But,
But what? I suppose the 9th of October doesn't mean a thing to you.
Well, it was the day, wasn't it the day when...
It was. And it was the luckiest day of my life. Do you know what happened to me?
I've often wondered.
I went to Finland.
Did you?
I did. Stephen, the Finns are the most wonderful people in the world. I brought one back with me. I've been on the verge of calling you 1,000 times, but you know what a dither one gets into when buying a trousseau. Keep next Monday free. You're coming to my wedding.
With pleasure, my dear child.
And now, goodbye. Knut will wonder what's become of me, and he has a Finnish temper.
What's Knut like? Young or rich?
Nobody's poor in Finland. And he's exactly my age, only he doesn't know it.
Genevieve, you haven't changed a bit.
Oh, yes, I have.
How?
I'm in love. Try it yourself sometime.
I have, thank you.
You don't look very happy.
I lost.
Somehow, I can't imagine you losing a girl if you really wanted to hold her.
I gave her away. Why, the boy wouldn't have had a chance. But I saw something between them and I wrote his love scene. I gave him the setting. I put the words into his mouth. Well, I did a good job. And now they're happily married.
Oh? Do you think that was very bright?
Oh, there's no fool like an old playwright. Genevieve, I always thought that when one got older, one got wiser. Well, it doesn't help. You know what it's all about, and don't let anybody tell you that that lessens the pain.
Stephen, why don't you travel? Look what it's done for me. See new places, new faces, get out in the open air, play golf.
I loathe golf.
I tell you what, join us at the opera, and then we'll all go somewhere.
I detest opera.
Well, there's only one thing left for you to do.
And I don't like suicide.
Hello. May I come in?
Good evening.
Hello, Stephen.
Do you ladies know each other? Miss Lang, Miss Brown. I mean, Mrs. Reynolds.
How do you do?
How do you do? I suppose you don't know what today is, Stephen.
Tuesday?
It's October the 9th.
So it is.
I brought you some flowers.
So I see.
Aren't they lovely?
Where can I put them? Oh, never mind. We can throw these others out. They're a little wilted.
They are not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you bring them?
Stephen, I'll see you another time. Good night.
Good night.
Were those her flowers?
They were.
What is she to you?
How did you get in here, and what do you want?
You've got to answer my question, Stephen. What is she to you?
A friend.
What do you mean, a friend?
A girl I never was in love with.
Stephen, will you take me back?
Is that how little you know me?
Oh, you've got to take me back. You don't know what I've been through. I've been in hell for 5 months. No matter what I've done to you, I've paid for it. I led a life of torture. You're the only one who can save me.
Don't you love Dickie anymore?
I can't stand him.
You loved him when you married him, didn't you?
Well, I thought I did. It all happened so quickly. How could I tell? Oh, Stephen, why didn't you tell me what a dreadful thing youth is?
Dreadful?
Why didn't anybody tell me? We went to Santa Barbara. Here's a typical honeymoon day. Out of bed at 7 a.m., not p.m. 3 hasty kisses, a shower, then we play tennis. What do I know about tennis? Then sweating and limp, another shower, 2 hasty kisses, and swimming, while I sit on the beach and watch him do his setting up exercises. Then a home in Connecticut, fox hunting, golf, polo. 5 months of it, Stephen. 5 months without nightlife, without the theater, without glasses of beer pounding the table because somebody's got something crazy and beautiful and passionate to say to somebody else. Without poetry and laughter and... without you, Stephen.
Where's Dickie?
He's at the Waldorf.
Does he know you're here?
No.
Where does he think you are?
Oh, I don't know. I left him a note telling him goodbye and that I wanted a divorce.
Does he still love you?
What do you think?
I think he does. And I think you should go back to him.
Don't you care for me anymore?
No.
I know I've hurt you, Stephen, but I'll make it up to you. It's been a wonderful and a terrible year for both of us, but we're ready for each other now.
I would like it very much. If I never saw you anymore, or heard from you, or anything.
Stephen, I know I hurt you dreadfully, but... oh, please give me another chance. I'll never make the mistake of leaving you again.
Waldorf Astoria. Mr. Richard Reynolds, please.
What are you doing?
I'm going to have your husband come and get you. Are you sure he doesn't answer? Will you ring him again, please? Come in. What is it, Flugel?
It's Mr. Reynolds, sir.
Oh. Send him up.
I beg your pardon, sir, but he's not precisely in the apartment. He seems to be in quite a state, and I thought it best not to admit him until I'd consulted with you.
Does he know Miss Linda is here?
I took it upon myself to say that she was not here, sir.
Let him come out.
Very well, sir.
Linda, that door leads to the bedroom. I wish you would take it, please, and let yourself out the other door into the hall and find your way out of this house.
Very well, Stephen. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Mr. Richard Reynolds, sir.
Why, hello, Dickie. How are you? About time you came to see me. Where's Linda?
You know darn well where she is.
Do I?
She's right here in this apartment.
Loglo, has Mrs. Reynolds been here this evening?
Now, be careful what you say.
No, sir.
Look here, I don't recall inviting you into my apartment.
Pardon me, sir, but if you've changed your mind about seeing this gentleman, it would be a pleasure to show him out, sir.
You and who else?
Just I, sir.
Thank you very much, Flugel, but I'm afraid you might lose your temper. You may go.
Very well, sir.
Now, where does that door go to?
It opens into my bedroom, but before you make a move in that direction, I wish to call your attention to the fact that you're the United States of America and not Princeton.
1 hour ago, Linda slipped out of the hotel. She left this note.
Good Lord.
You were the first one I suspected.
Me?
Yes, you. For 5 months, all I've heard morning, noon, and night is Stephen Gay. Like a fool, I was broad-minded. I was dumb enough to believe there's one gentleman in the lousy world of the theater. Well, I know better now.
Just what is it that you want to know now?
My wife, carrying a bouquet of flowers, walked around this block 5 times and then she entered your house. Well, if you think you can make a fool of me, you're mistaken. I live in a respectable community. I've got a position to maintain. And if anybody gets the divorce, I get it.
Dickie, will you be good enough to sit down and tell me what this is all about?
And if she thinks she's going to get any alimony, she's got another thing coming.
Stephen, where are the cigarettes? Oh, hello, Dickie.
Just what I expected to find. Deny that, Mr. Gay. Deny that my wife has just come out of your bedroom wearing what looks to be your bathrobe.
I do not deny it. Linda, won't you sit down?
With pleasure.
You wanted a cigarette, didn't you?
Please.
Light?
Thank you.
Have you read any good books lately?
Well, yes and no.
Lovely weather we're having.
I wouldn't put it past you.
Now listen to me, you two. Thought you were smart, didn't you, Mr. Gay? Deliberately giving me a love lesson, teaching me how to win her. Passing your ex, whatever she was, off on me. Well, she was glad enough to get a husband. She just fell into my arms and I didn't have to say a word except I love you. Well, we'll see who's going to get that divorce, Linda. Goodbye.
Steve.
Yes?
When I came in, I thought I wanted you, and I thought you'd have to want me if I wanted you. I thought in another 5 years, he'll be almost 60 and interested in bigger things than love. And I'll be 30, which nowadays is very young, and... Well, then we'll really be through with each other, and... By that time, somebody else will probably have fallen in love with me, and somebody I'll probably be able to endure. You see, Stephen, I've become quite mature and realistic, don't you think? And not the romantic girl I once was, who thought life was a flame just because you lived and breathed. And to tell you the truth, I even thought so when I was walking around the block, but well, you must agree I'm being very sensible now.
You are, Linda. Very sensible.
And I have changed, haven't I?
Yes. You have.
Well, knowing you as well as I do, well, after all, you've had your love, you've even been married. I'm sure in each case you thought it was the one great love, it was the mountaintop, it was the glory that will never end, just as you did with me. So the way I sum it up is, well, you can't warm over cold mutton, not unless you're a weakling, and you yourself said once that there's nothing uglier than ex-lovers being friends. So, well, I'm going to say goodbye, Stephen.
Linda?
Yes, Stephen?
When he told you he loved you, is that all he said? Just, I love you?
Well, yes, Stephen.
Oh, dear. No matter what I do, it seems I can't escape from comedy. Linda, I think I've got the most exquisitely lyrical idea for a play anybody ever had since time began. Can you find something to write on, Linda?
Well, I think I left some old stenographer pads here. This row here, I think. Oh, yes, it's still here.
Take this down, please. Ready?
Ready, Stephen.
Act One. Scene One. A penthouse apartment in New York City. No. Change that. We'll open in the bedroom, darling. Of a castle.
You have just heard the Best Plays production of Accent on Youth by Samson Raphaelson, starring Cyril Richard and Sally Forrest. And here again is your host, drama critic John Chapman.
I never did find out whether the play Stephen began dictating turned out to be a good one or a bad one. Because Samson Raphaelson has never told us about it. But I do know that Accent on Youth has been an enjoyable comedy. and that Mr. Richard, Miss Forrest, and their fellow actors have enjoyed doing it. Next week, we will switch from comedy to drama. Our play will be Sidney Kingsley's famous Pulitzer Prize winner, Men in White. This was a first play by a young dramatist, and very rarely does a first play win any prizes. Kingsley has made a habit of winning awards. His historical drama, The Patriots, was given the Critics' Circle Prize. And again, the critics honored him for his adaptation of Darkness at Noon. Kingsley is a slow and careful worker. He spent 2 years, for instance, on Detective Story. And now he has been working for a year on a new work. It might be ready for next season. I hope so, anyway. This is Chapman saying goodbye until next week.
Set on Youth by Samson Raphaelson was transcribed and adapted by Earl Hamner. Featured in the cast were Edwin Jerome as Frank Galloway, Leon Janney as Dickie, Helen Clare as Genevieve, Edith Gresham as Miss Darling, and Gene Leonard as Flogville. Best Plays is an NBC production supervised by William Welch and directed by Edward King. Your announcer is Fred Collins. Remember, next week, Men in White, starring Richard Basehart. Every week here in our Best Plays studio, we start out with a roll on the timpani and the phrase, "From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays." We'd like to take a moment to talk about that phrase, about our program and you, our listeners. All week long on NBC, you dial a variety of entertainment, comedy, music, pop and long hair, news, and drama. But we like to feel that our hour brings something a little special. We like to feel that we bring you a special show train into Broadway, into the center of the live theater in America. You know, the theater is an interesting institution. It's been dying steadily since Shakespeare's time. Every year, several authorities read a few words over its grave, and yet, on it goes, year after year, in black ink and red, serving as a training ground for our actors, writers, and directors, and a proving ground for new dramatic ideas. Television, movies, radio, these are the mass dramatic media. Their audiences are numbered in millions, and yet, from the small theaters jammed into midtown Manhattan, flow a stream of ideas, new forms of entertainment, tragedy and comedy, which are the roots of show business. On Best Plays, we try to bring a network audience close to the live theater of Broadway. We perform its plays with its players and adaptations designed to bring the original thought of the playwright through the strainer of radio unchanged. We think it's a show worth doing, Best Plays from New York, where the American stage begins. If you have a moment to drop us a note, we'd be helped by your comments here at Best Plays, NBC, New York.